Sanhedrin. 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 Okay, let's go. Ready? We're on.
92, I think.
I opened the right. I can't believe it.
We are on page 91, side 2, and we're going to continue our investigation of the resurrection. The Gemara now returns to its original discussion, the discussion that we opened last week's class about resurrection with, and that is, how do people return? Do they come the way they left? Beaten, bludgeoned, handicapped? Or do they come all shiny and new? This is the question. So the Gemara says, Rava threw this at them. Now Rava Rami, the term Rami literally means ask the question. But it's like when you're having a discussion about something and I'll throw this at you, I'll throw that at you. And oftentimes Rami is indicative of a stira, of a contradiction. Now when you look at the verse seems to be contradicting itself. Which verse is Rava referring to? A pasuk in the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, which is known as Shiras Hazino, the song or poem of hearken or listen in. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's sing-song farewell to the Jewish people. And there it is written, Ani Amis V'Achaya. It says, I kill, God says, and I bring to life. And then after that it says, Mochatzi, I strike. And then it says, Va'ani erpo, and I heal. So what's the question? What's the contradiction? The contradiction, it seems, a subtle contradiction, is here when it says, Ani omes, va'achaya, I put to death, and then I bring back to life. That it sounds that the person that died is the person that is resuscitated. Same person. Exactly as you went, that's the way you come. If a person was missing a leg, God forbid, a hand, was disfigured, they return exactly as they went. Conversely, in the very same pasuk we hear, Machatzli, God says, I am the cause. In the end, it's all Hashem. You can blame all kinds of people, and they will be guilty for what they did, but still, it's all Hashem. Hashem says, Machatzli. So I heal. So how does that work? Is he the healer? If he's the healer, then he brings home something which is whole and healed. Because machatzti, I caused the injury, and then erpa, and I'm going to heal it. So Rava saw a contradiction here, and he explained it like this. He said, "Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what God's saying to us: Ma shani meimis, ani mechaye. That which I put to death, I resuscitate. I bring back to life." However, it doesn't stay there. It's true that the person who died lives again. The same person that died, disfigured, beaten, or broken, is the same person that rises. But after that person rises, Masha Machatzti, that which I caused, the injury, Vanierper. God says, I will heal it. So therefore, it sounds on the surface like God is going to first strike a person down and then heal him. But previously it says he brings to life the same person he struck down. As Rashi says, Ksiva ni omes v'achaya de mashma. The intimation is, Kishem shani omes es ha'odom, kach ani mechayehu. In the way the person dies, that's how he comes back to life. Meaning, Kishemes baal mum, when the person died, blemished, oimid v'chay, then he rises again and he is alive. Balmum, and he's blemished. However, and then the pasuk says, "V'ksiv machatzti v'ani erpe kishu mechaye." When God resuscitates, merape es hamachatz, then He heals the breach. He heals whatever was wrong. Va'imid shalem, and the person rises whole. So, which will it be? Will the right resurrection rise? Which is it going to be? A broken or a whole resurrection? And the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first brings back to life, V'hoder Masha Machatzti, says Rashi, La'achar Kein, after he's brought back to life, Misrape, then the healing comes. U'kidiliel, this is, as we discussed previously, in the Gemara that we talked about in our previous class, Oimdin B'mumon, they rise, they're resuscitated with their blemishes, U'misrapin, and they experience healing. Now, since the Gemara had a discussion about this pasuk, of ani omas v'achaye, I bring death and I bring life. Machatzti v'ani erpa, so the Gemara goes on and brings a braisa, quotes a braisa now, a teaching of our sages from the genre of the Mishnah, although it's not actually a Mishnah, we know that because it says, Tanu Rabbanon natanan. So Tanu Rabbanon, our rabbis learned in a braisa. The pasuk says, where are we? Tana Rabbanan ani omus v'achayem. I bring death, says God. I bring life. Yochel, you might think that the proper understanding of this verse is shetehe misa be'echad v'chayem be'echad. There's a cycle of life. Somebody dies. Somebody's born. God gave one person, took away his life. And somebody else, he gave life. Not that we subscribe to the Sanskrit idea of resurrection, that the person who died has now returned in somebody else's body. We totally reject that. Those who think that that's resurrection, that's reincarnation from a Jewish perspective, are absolutely ignorant of the Torah truth. You never lived before. You as you are now. And you're never living again. You get one kick at the can. You're connected to many other neshamas, like a line is made up of many dots. But the person that lived, you're a unique person. What do you think will happen? Mashiach will come, there'll be 10 bodies who want to get up. Each will claim the neshama. Each will say, I'm the one who wants to be resurrected. It's narishkeit. So, but we could say the same God. God gives life and God gives death. And we talk about sometimes in a cycle of life, sometimes in a family, you see there's a death in the family, a birth in the family. Ani omis, ani mechaya. I give life. And the opposite, chas v'shalom. So you might think that's the meaning, kederech sha'olam noyeg, as the world goes, so to speak. Rashi says, misa be'echad v'chayim be'echad, v'hochi ka'amar, this is what you would say, ani meimis adam zeh, I bring death to this person, and at the same time, u'mechaya adam achar, and bring life to another person. Kederech sha'olam noyeg, as the world goes round, sheze mes, v'zeh noylad, this one dies, this one's born. So it is. So the Gemara says, not so. Talmud Leimar, the verse here teaches me a very important lesson. It is stated, Machatzti v'ani arape. I strike, I bring injury, I heal, says God. Now, this we cannot take simply and ascribe it to different people. That's it. This one got injured and that one got healed. That makes no sense. If one person got injured, why somebody else get healed? The healing has to come where the injury is. So that clearly is talking about the same person, but this is the same verse. And just like the second part of the verse necessarily speaks about a person who is the same, so we say the same thing is true about the first part of the verse. The one who dies is the one who will come back to life. Ma mechitzo refuah, just like injury and healing, be'echad have to be in one and the same. Af misa v'chayim be'echad. So it's true also with regard to death and life that comes together in the same person. Mikan, from here, says the Gemara, tshuva la'imrim, comes the answer for those who maintain, and they foolishly say, ein t'chias ha'mesim in ha'teira, the resurrection, it's not biblical. It's not in the Torah. The rabbis made it up. You know, they borrowed from this mythology and that idea and this theology, and they wanted to make sure that the Jewish people should stay with Judaism, so they took all kinds of foreign ideas and injected it into Judaism, and it's all rabbinical mumbo-jumbo. No, chas v'shalom. That's mumbo-jumbo. It is in the Torah. Not everything has to be openly. The Torah doesn't have to state it clearly. The Torah alludes to things. If you study Torah properly, you will see that the resurrection is an inherent and integral part of verses in the Torah. Okay, so now we have more proofs from the Torah for the concept of the resurrection, and we also understand a little bit about the resurrection.
It has to come through a braisa.
Does it have to come through a braisa? Where did you want it to come through, the window?
In the Mishnah.
Tell me, God wants us to put on tefillin? He had to write a teitofes and ois, frontlets and signs. He couldn't just tell us, thou shalt put on black boxes with black straps.
Let me make a reference. Right?
There's a reference right here. Machatzti vani erpa. Memes vani mechaya. You want a more clear reference? I will bring to death and I will bring back to life.
But the tefillin that you should put tefillin, it's brought in the braisa or it's brought in the...
The pasuk that says over here, memes vani mechaya. It says it in a braisa. It's
no,
a pasuk. If you read the pasuk right, you understand. Ani memes vani mechaya is necessarily speaking about the same person. So that's very clear. It's open in the Torah. God says, I put to death, I bring back to life. What did you want more open? It's right there, actually. It's only that you need to look at the other pasuk in order to come to that conclusion. It's open. I bring death, I bring life to the same person. It's very clear. All right, so now the Gemara is established. We have this principle that Tchiyas HaMeisim is from the Torah, and now we are going to continue to analyze fresh verses in which we will demonstrate that the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim is alluded to. And here it's only an illusion. You are right. Here it's an illusion. Previously it's open. Ani Memes. Vani Mechaya. That's open. This is just an illusion. Tanu Rabbanon. We did that Tanu Rabbanon. Tanya. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Omer Rabbi Meir said, Minayin l'tchias ha-meisim min ha-teira. From whence can I see that the resurrection, the resuscitation of the dead is alluded to in the Teira? And he says, Shanemar, because it's written in the Pasuk, this is a Pasuk that speaks about the post-mortem, if you will, or the reaction to the splitting of the Reed Sea in the moments after the Jewish people witnessed that amazing miracle. The Torah that records Oz Yashir Meishov Nei Yisrael Asashir Hazayis LaHashem. Then Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people sang this song of praise to the Almighty. And here the Gemara says, you can analyze the verbiage employed by the Torah with great care. Oz Shar Lo Nemar. It doesn't say they sang. Shar is sang, past tense. Oz is then they sang. It says, Yashir. Yashir means they will sing. It doesn't say they sang, it says they will sing. Ha ha. Mikan. From here we can understand that Tchiyas HaMeisim, that the resurrection is Min HaTeira. The same people who were singing there, Oz then, not as then, past tense, but then in the future, Yashir, Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people, they will sing again. And the obvious only way they can sing again is if they come back. So we have Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTeira. The Gemara now goes on to say that there are a number of other verses like this. It says, Oz Yivne Yehoshua Mizbeach LaHashem. Then Yehoshua will build an altar for God. Now, if you want to be really exact, if you look at the Pasuk, it speaks about the victory that took place at the Battle of the Ai. And after the Battle of the Ai, the Torah talks about the Mizbeach, the altar that Yeshua built. But the truth is, if you look in Rashi and Radak, you'll find out that they say, Ein muktam u'mu'ukhar, that there is no necessarily chronological order in the Torah's narrative. And actually, Yehoshua built it as soon as they came to Eretz Yisrael. Right when they came, he built an altar. It doesn't say Oz Bana, it says Oz Yivne, he will build. So what do we see from this? Bono le'nemar, it doesn't say built, it says Yivne, he will build. Says the Gemara, we come to the same conclusion. Lekan, from here we can see, Mikan le'tchias ha'meisim in ha'teira. So the Gemara now says, really? Because it says Yivne instead of Bono means that he will build, that this is going to be tchias ha'meisim. I will necessarily show you that can't be the case. Why can't it be the case? It says Oz Yivne. It should have said Oz Bana. So the Gemara says because there's another instance in the Tanakh, in the Nevi'im, where it says Oz Yivne. And this is talking about Shlomo HaMelech. And it's about building an altar, but not to God. Tragically, it's about building an altar to an idol. Oz Yivne Shlema Bama. Then Shlomo will build a high place, and that bama, the high place, the platform, is the terminology employed to describe such a location or mechanism of worship that was used for an idol. And it says he will build it l'chmoish shikutz mayav. Chmoish was the deity of mayav. But when we speak of these idolatrous deities, we call them shikutz, which means abomination. The abomination of mayav. It was abominable that they worshipped an idol, a spirit, a shaman, a mountain, a tree, a star, a planet, whatever it was. They're worshipping chmoish. So their deity, their idol, was called for us, when we looked at it as a shikutz, as abominable. So you're going to tell me now that Shlomo HaMelech not only built an idol for Avodah Zarah, Mashiach will come, there'll be the resurrection, Shlomo HaMelech will be back, and Shlomo HaMelech will be building altars for idols. It's total nonsensical. When Mashiach will come, nobody will sin. Nobody will do anything remotely wrong. The presence of Hashem will be so obvious. How is it possible to suggest that sin is going to be done after Mashiach comes? And this, of course, presents a challenge to the thesis that Az Yivne Yeshua, then Yeshua will build. So the Gemara says, well, the thing is like this. Really, Shlomo HaMelech never built such an altar. He didn't build it. He thought of building it. He thought of trying to please his wives. It's a very complicated situation. It's complicated. Shlomo HaMelech didn't go and build an altar. He never did it and never worshipped an idol, chas v'shalom. The Torah considers it as if he did because of who he was and the expectations God had of him. Ma'ila lava kasav kilubana. It's as if, we consider it as if he would have actually built an altar. But he didn't actually build an altar. The truth is, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin on page 39. The Gemara says over there that when a person has a machshava, has a thought for Avodah Zarah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it as if that was done. So usually we say, you get judged on your actions. I think Winston Churchill once said, I don't listen to people anymore, he said. I just watch their actions. Behavior doesn't lie. So usually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't judge us on what we thought of doing. He judges us on what we did. At least, that's when bad things are the case. When it's a good thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarfa machshava l'maisa. If a person wanted sincerely to do a good thing and he was prevented by extenuating circumstances, God does consider it as if. It's not the same as doing it, but as if he would have gone ahead and done it. But as a rule, that's not used in the negative. That's only used in the positive. But the Gemara says in Kiddushin that when it comes to the concept of Avodah Zarah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it, the thought is as if you did it. Why would it be so? Why would Hashem take the biggest of all the sins, the sin which is tantamount to all sins together, and Hashem judges a person for what he planned to do? So there's a beautiful teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, where he said in the Shema, we say, Vasartem vavadtem. You turned and you worshipped other gods. So the Baal Shem Tov said, there's a little bit of a distance, you know, but a person turned away from Hashem, he still didn't worship another god. He didn't listen to Hashem. Hashem said, don't eat that. He said, oh God, come on, look the other way, I'm going to eat it. He didn't worship an idol. He was just hungry. He ate a cheeseburger. He didn't worship an idol. So the Baal Shem Tov said, when a Yid turns his back on Hashem, that is idolatry. That is. Who is he worshiping himself? He thinks I'm God. God is in control. I'm in control. God said don't steal. I said I need to steal. God said don't be mean. I feel like being mean. That is idolatry. Visartem is already vavadtem. So from that perspective, we understand that when a Yid thinks about building an altar to a foreign deity, when a Yid attributes and ascribes power and potency to nothing and says, that's God, that is building an altar. That is worshiping an idol to the point that the Torah considers it as if it would have been done. And when Shlomo HaMelech entertained for a moment, paying homage, even lip service to an idol, Torah comes along and says, Az Yivne, because he didn't really build it, because it was Bani. He can't say he built it, he didn't build it, it's Az Yivne. So therefore, the thesis remains, when Yehoshua built an altar, it's still the idea that Mashiach will come, and then he will build the altar. He built it, and he'll build it again. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu sang a song, and he'll sing it again. And the fact that it says, Az Yivne Shlemei, in no way gets in the way of this thesis. So I want to share with you something very interesting. And the reason I want to share this with you is because there is an inherent question. Why is it that when it comes to Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, the Torah talked about Az Yasher Moshe? In other words, it was the song that was sung at the Reed Sea. And then it's this business of Yehoshua, Yehoshua building an altar. So why was that the vehicle to deliver the message? Why did Hashem say, it's going to happen? How do we know? Well, because look, they sang, they're going to sing again. Why here and through this medium did Hashem choose to convey this message?
How is that even the message? Like, it just says future tense. And from that, we see that there's Tchias Amazing.
Because it's future tense. It didn't happen.
Maybe it'll happen in the future, but...
How could it happen in the future? They're gone.
It's an Asmachta, right? It's not a clear proof. It's just...
Well, if you look earlier, it says, Mikan Tshuva, what it says earlier, the Gemara we learned before, right? Ani Omis, Ani Achaya. That's clear. That's God says, I kill, I bring to life.
Right.
That's clear. That's Mikan Tshuva. Here it says, Mikan L'tchias HaMeisim. It doesn't say Mikan Tshuva. It doesn't even mean as an answer. But Mikan, here you can see that the concept exists. In other words, that there's a Torah truism, there's going to be resuscitation. There's going to be resurrection. How do we know it? Where do we see it? The scripture is sprinkled with these ideas. If you keep looking at Torah, you'll see this being alluded to time and again. So it's alluded to here. In other words, this is not the proof. The tshuva l'tchias HaMeisim is I kill and I bring to life. That's the tshuva. That's the actual answer. But here is an example of where we see it. That this inherent truism follows through, it weaves its way through the tapestry of Torah. But still, the question could be asked, maybe here's not where we learn it from per se, But why did Hashem weave it through this particular tapestry? Why this particular pasuk? So, I want to share with you the words of Rashi on the Chumash. Rashi on the Chumash has the burden of explaining to us, what does it mean, Oz Yashir? What Oz? What's Oz Yashir? What does it mean? So Rashi says that Oz is a dynamic. It's a dynamic expression. It says, Oz, at that moment, in the words of Rashi, Kishera Haneis, when he saw the miracle, Allah Beliba Sheyasha. So when the miracle impelled him, in other words, this was an inspired song. It was not like, okay, let's schedule a spontaneous song. It was unscheduled. It was spontaneous. The Oz Yasha indicates spontaneity. And it was due to inspiration. So this is a profusion of love for Hashem, awe for Hashem. This is B'nai Yisrael being moved by having this wonderful, deeply religious and spiritual experience. And then Rashi brings another example for this. He says that that's the case as Yashir Moshe, that Allah believe. And he says, V'chein as Yadaber Yeshua. And this is talking about Yeshua. In the same time, this is the Melchama in Emek Ayolin. This is actually on Gimel Tammuz when the sun stands still and doesn't set. And Yeshua is talking again. Yeshua is speaking to the people about a resurrection that's going to come. So he's speaking. So then it also says, Oz Yadaber. Oz Yadaber over there. So he says there's the same kind of thing going on over here. It was a dynamic. It was not a scheduled speech. It was a spontaneous expression. Yeshua began to speak to the people. He inspired. He rallied them. And he wasn't planning to give a sermon at that moment. And then he brings different examples. And he talks about the Shira the B'nai Yisrael. And he says that these are the three examples by Yeshua, by Yisrael. The people saw something, they were moved, and spontaneously they broke into song or words of inspiration. Okay, Rashi, that's L'yashav Pshute. But really and truly, even if you have an answer, L'yashav Pshute, you could explain why the Torah would use unusual or unwieldy expression, the question could still be asked. There was an easier way to say that. So why did the Torah have to say it this way? And therefore, Rashi does something unusual. Typically, they give us one answer. So what's the pshat? What's the meaning of these verses? This is the meaning of the verses. But when the Torah employs a methodology or strange series of words, which it didn't have to use in that manner, but it chooses to use in that manner, so then we have to come to the conclusion that there's multiple messages. And the multiple messaging is contained. It has to fit in pshat. It has to be understood literally. But it also has a pun and a secondary message and other ideas that are being conveyed at the same time. So Rashi feels compelled to share with you additional messaging. Because just for this reason alone, for spontaneity's purposes alone, the Torah wouldn't have used the terminology Oz Yashir. So here Rashi says that there is a medrash, and here he brings our Gemara. Mikan remez, he says, atchias ameisim in the Torah. Not this is the tshuva. Remez. This alludes. Not an asmachta, but it's a remez. This is an allusion to it. And he says two very unusual words, which most people in the Lin Rashi, they gloss over this. He says, v'chein b'kulam. V'chein b'kulam. That means the same thing is also alluded to by Yahushua. The same thing is also alluded to by Yisro. Our Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara here doesn't say you'll learn from Yahushua. The Gemara doesn't say he'll learn from Yisro. The Gemara only brings down as Yashir Meisha. But Rashi says, just like Oz Yashir is a remez of Tchias HaMesim in HaTeira, V'chein B'kulam. With Yoshua would also be. And with Bnei Yisrael will also be. So the question then becomes, first of all, Rashi came along and he added something which didn't say before. Rashi just came and told us that the other additional allusions, additional hints to Tchias HaMesim, that the Gemara didn't even tell us. We have to use the methodology of the Gemara to come to that conclusion, but the Gemara didn't say it. But Rashi feels compelled to say it because he quoted these cases. He brought down, he invoked this the verbiage that's found in other verses as well. And because he invoked the verbiage found in other verses, so now he has to say that the same way I'm going to tell you that the reason that this was used, it has a pshat, it's for spontaneity's purposes, but it has also a secondary message, then in that case, the same would have to be true by the other verses. It is true. V'chein b'kula. So the Rebbe says, so what's going on with that? Why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to convey this message then in multiple ways? V'chein b'kulam. With Moshe, with Yeshua, and with Yisrael. The Rebbe said something amazing. He said, with regard to Moshe, we have a Maimer Chazal, which is brought in the Gemara at Maseches Sota and Daf Yud Gimel. It's also brought in the Zohar. And the Zohar, both the Zohar and the Gemara at Maseches Sota use the same terminology. It says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Loi mes Moshe. Moshe didn't die. So it says. It says open. Moshe didn't die. What does it mean he didn't die? The Torah speaks about a burial. Who covered us? Atzma, he buried himself. But he died. We talk about the caver of Moshe. The Torah says, Vayamas Moshe, Eved Hashem. Multiple times, Moshe's death is alluded to. What does it mean, loi mes? So with this we have the explanation of our sages of why and how a tzaddik's life is eternal. Right, of course, culminating with the Biurim of Chassidus and the Igeres Chazayin of the Alter Rebbe and the Biur on the Igeres, which explains the meaning of the eternal life of a tzaddik. And the essence of the message is that the Chayim of a tzaddik is Chayim Ruchniyim, it's a spiritual life. And the spiritual life, it doesn't dissipate. It's just clearly stated in the Zohar. It says that tzaddikim are found in all worlds, and in this world, Yater B'chayuin. That tzaddikim are found in this world after the terrestrial passing, more so than during the terrestrial life. That's what the Zohar says. So with regard then to Moshe, in a certain sense, Moshe never died. Moshe's body died, but Moshe didn't leave this world. Moshe's still here in this world. Moshe Rabbeinu never left, he's still alive. So because Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive, so what's the koyach for Tchias HaMesim? What's the koyach that all Yidden will come back to life? It's through Moshe. As Moshe continued to live in this world, Moshe Rabbeinu will be able to revitalize, to reactualize all the neshamas that left this world, bring them back to this world, and once they're all back in this world, from there, there will be a conduit. That will be the segue into actual Tchias HaMesim. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is an integral part of this process. Moshe Rabbeinu is, if you will, the logic of the process, the rhyme and reason of this, the system is the concept of Moshe Leimes. So then it's not enough to have Moshe Leimes, we have to have also Oz Yashir Yisrael. Why? Because you could say that, okay, Moshe Leimes, Mardukha Leimes, whatever, different tzaddikim, it says Leimes. What are regular people? Regular people is Mes. It's Mes, it says Mes. If it would be all Yidden, it wouldn't say about these few tzaddikim, Leimes. The fact that it says about certain tzaddikim, Leimes, so as a raya, as a proof about other Yidden, it is in Yin of Mes. So one would think that, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu will come back to life, Aaron HaKohen will come back to life, which the Gemara, by the way, says openly. The Gemara says, we'll give them Truma. We'll give Aaron Truma. Moshe says, well, how will this all be? Moshe ve'Aaron imahem. And the Zohar says that the Tchias HaMesim of Tzaddikim will happen instantaneously, even though the Zohar indicates that Tchias HaMesim of regular people will only be 4 decades later. So you would think, okay, Moshe, Aaron, Mardukhai, the greatest of the great, the great prophets, the great Tzaddikim, they'll come back to life. Everybody's come back to life. So therefore he said, no, Oz Yashir Yisrael. If we'd only say Oz Yashir Moshe, you would think only Moshe. Only the people who are next to Moshe. If it's Moshe, then if Moshe's there. But ultimately it is the concept of Oz Yashir Yisrael. And the question is, who's the link to Moshe? Moshe says, Chatzi Adam Chatzi Malach. Moshe Rabbeinu is like in a whole different realm. Who is the link? Who links us to Moshe? To Moshe Kibbul Teder Misinai. What's the answer? Mesorah LeYeshua. There's Talmud. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was like Pnei Chama, like the radiance of the sun, and Yeshua was like Pnei Levana, like the moon, which reflects the light of the sun, but of course not as intently. intensely. And so Yehoshua, who's the Talmud of Moshe, and through Yehoshua, the teachings of Moshe are promulgated to the Jewish people, like we say in Pirkei Avos, that we say the Moshe Kibbutayim Messina, and Mesar Yeshua. From Yeshua, then it goes on to Zekanim and Nevi'im until it comes on to Knesset Gdela. And this then is the order, so to speak, of how this unfolds, as Yashir Moshe. From here we can learn V'chein B'kulam. We have the idea of as Yashir Yisrael and the concept of Moshe. Now the interesting thing is that this invariably explains also why we bring the business of Yehoshua as Yivne Yeshua Mizbeach. The Gemara wants to bring one singing, it brings a different proof. Singing of Az Yashir Moshe, the Gemara doesn't have to say the pasuk of Az Yashir Yeshua, you can understand that already. Az Yidaber. Singing, speaking. The Gemara brings now action. Not only he'll sing again, not only he'll speak again, maybe you say Neshamas could sing too. Az Yashir, so the Neshamas will sing. No, Yivne, you build with your hands. It's an actual terrestrial thing, a tangible thing. Az Yivne Yeshua. So this is one nekuda. Another nekuda, another, I think, very important point about the Az Yashir Moshe, is a famous Medrash Rabbah that says something very strange. On the Pasuk, Vayuveyu b'nei Yisrael b'seich hayom b'yabasha, and it says, V'hamayim lem choyma mi'aminim u'mismoylim, the Jewish people came into the river, into the sea, pardon me, and there was waters of wall on the right and the left. And the Medrash Rabbah says, Hoysebas Yisrael averes b'yom, a young Jewish mother should be walking in through the sea, u'bna b'yada, her child is in her hand. What do babies do? They cry, exactly. What do mothers try to do? Try to calm the baby. So the Medrash says, B'na b'yada, the baby's in her hands, u'becha. U'peshetes yada, says the Medrash Rabbah, takes with her hand, reaches into the wall of water, v'netelas tapuach, feeds him an apple, or a rimain, or a pomegranate. Mitech hayom, right from the middle of the sea. She gave it to her child. That's the words of the Medrash. So what happened there? Obviously what happened is, it says that trees grew from the ocean ground. from the ocean, trees grew. And the trees automatically produce fruit. Now, everybody knows that for trees to grow from an ocean ground, this is quasi-impossible. But then again, seas don't split open either. Okay, but even if suddenly it became fertile soil, it would take years. Until a seed germinates, until a tree grows, until a sapling comes, until the sapling grows up, until it starts to produce fruit. You're talking about years. How long could Kriyas Yamsav have been? An hour? An hour and 15 minutes? How long could the whole Kriyas Yamsav be? They went in at dawn. They were, by the time sunrise, they were already singing. The Ganze Maisa is an hour. So how did this all happen in an hour? And there was time for it to grow, and for the mother, for the baby to cry, and the mother to pick it, and mollify the baby. What's the pshat? And then we have the famous drasha of the Ran, in Drasha Ches, and the drashas of the sermons of the Ran, was one of the greatest Rishonim. The Ran coins the following phraseology. He says, Le'ovet kutshabricha nisla megana. God doesn't do miracles just like that. And he explains it, that God cherishes nature, and nature isn't shattered for no reason. Nature is beloved by God, and God wants to keep nature. And miracles don't just happen. Miracles happen when there's a need. So the Rebbe says, okay, what was the need for this miracle? You couldn't get by. Find another way to make your kid happy. Yeah, it had to grow. Trees had to grow out of the ground, really. I understand the Jewish people had to be saved. The Egyptians were pursuing them. I get that. And if no trees would have grown, who would know the difference? So the Rebbe says that the way to understand this is looking at the Kriyas Yamsuf not simply as an act of salvation, but rather, the way Chassidus explains the messaging of Kriyas Yamsuf, why did Hashem choose this way to save the Jewish people? The Kriyas Yamsuf represents the concept of Gilui Elokus, the concept of divine revelation. Like the Chazal tell us that Masharas Shifchas Alayam, the simplest Jew might have seen at the Reed Sea, Leiro Yechesku Ben Buzi, the prophet Ezekiel, who saw revelation that was said to be a reflection of nothing less than Matan Torah itself, he still didn't experience the height of perception that was reached by the simplest of Jews walking through the Reed Sea. So in other words, it was not just an act of saving, it's an act of divine revelation. In the language of Pnimius HaTeira, there's Alma de Iskasya, there's the concealed world, there's Alma de Isgalia, there's the revealed or open world. And this spiritual concept is reflected on planet Earth, in which we have two-thirds of the world is covered with ocean. Look at the ocean, what do you see? Do you see mountains? Do you see animals? Do you see teeming with life? No, all you see is ocean. All you see is waters. You don't see anything. You look on land, you see everything. You see valleys, you see mountains, you see trees, you see life, you see animals. So the earth, land, represents Alma de Izgalia as a reflection of the spiritual truth of a revealed world. And then a higher spiritual world is called Alma Diskasya, a concealed world, which is the metaphor is the concept of the ocean. What will happen when Mashiach comes? When Mashiach comes, Alma Diskasya will become Isgalia. The world, that which is naturally concealed, will be revealed. This is what Mashiach is all about, Gilui Elokus. Everybody will know Hashem. That's why it says that the knowledge of Hashem will cover us, will saturate us like the waters cover the ocean. There's an allusion to Alma Diskasya. The waters covering the ocean represent the concealed world. We'll be in that concealed world, but it will no longer be concealed to us. Everybody will see the presence of Hashem. In other words, the way the Alter Rebbe explains in Lakut Torah, the whole concept of Kriyas Yamsuf is the beginning of a process. A process that begins at Kriyas Yamsuf with revelation, in which everything, the potential of everything is revealed. The potential of everything ultimately means the godly potential. And this reaches a major apex at Matan Torah. And that sets off a process. The process of Matan Torah only culminates, Emirat Hashem, speedily and in our days, when Mashiach will finally come. So Kriyas Yamsuf is actually the beginning of the coming of Mashiach, if you will. It's the idea of spiritual revelation. And because that's the beginning of spiritual revelation, it makes perfect sense that when they sang Az Yashir, that the song they sang then, that's the first song. That's the first Shira. And that will lead us into the 10th Shira, which will be sung, once again, by Meisha, Ubnei Yisrael. So it all kind of comes together and makes sense. Okay, so now we understand why Meisha is here, we understand why Yeshua is here, and the Gemara goes on to bring now additional proofs for the concept of Tchias HaMesim, from another very well-known pasuk in the Torah. This is so well-known, we say it at least three times a day. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Minayin l'tchias ha-mesim in ha-teira. Where do I see the concept of tchias ha-mesim further alluded to in the Torah? And he says, where? It's right there in the pasuk. Shenemar, as it's written, Ashrei yeshve v'secha. Fortunate are those who dwell or sit in your house, Oid Yahalulucha Sela, they will yet sing your praises. So what does it say? It says, Oid Yahalulucha Sela. So Gemara says, Yahalulucha, they will sing your praises. It shouldn't have said, Yahalulucha. What should it have said? Hilalucha, sang your praises. Ashra Yeshev Isecha, Oid Hilalucha Sela. Fortunate are those who dwell in your house. Those who dwell in your house, not only they get to dwell in your house, even more so, they get to praise you also. The truth is, sitting in Hashem's house is also something. Even if it didn't praise Hashem. Just a yid coming into shul is already something. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. When a yid comes into shul, he has to put a yarmulke on his head. To put a yarmulke, don't come be gilui rosh. Just being in a shul is already special. Sometimes people come to shul, I wonder what they accomplish. They come, they sleep, I don't know, like daven. So remind myself, you know, a yid in a shul is also something. It's also something. A yid sits in a shul. Who knows where, who knows how it will express itself someday. A yid sat in a shul. Being in a makom kadosh, in a holy place. In a holy place, also something. Your father had a beautiful story. Came to a shul, sat in a shul, started to cry like a baby. He didn't daven, he didn't do anything. He was just sitting in a shul. He's sitting in a shul, and wakes up a yid's neshama. So he's saying, not only a yid has the privilege of sitting in a shul, but furthermore, you could even sing Hashem's praises. Not only you sit there, not only in that environment, you're even actively engaged and involved, you sing Hashem's praises. Okay, very nice. But what's Yahalulucha? Yahalulucha, why does it say he will sing? And Yeshua Belevi answers, you know how? Then what this is telling us, Yeshua Belevi says, Mikan, from here we can see, that yid who sat in a shul, he will yet praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When will he praise Hashem? He'll praise Hashem when he returns. When Mashiach will come, and that's the concept, then, of Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. Now, of course, you could ask the question, okay, very nice, maybe it's referring to Yahalulucha in a spiritual sense. If you sat in shul in this world, you get to sit in shul in the other world. Maybe that's what it's saying. Maybe it's saying you will get to sing praises in some kind of futuristic, distant reality. So this is like a good question. And at the end of the day, many of these psukim which say it's not an absolute proof. We come, you'll see from the next proof, that kind of bolsters it. Here's the thing. If there would be only one reference like this in the Torah, it would be problematic. Who says? But when you have reference upon reference upon reference, there's a pattern that starts to emerge. There's a clear allusion to some phenomenon which is otherworldly that keeps getting alluded to. And you explain it one way, explain it another way, but ultimately all of these different expressions in unison, they form an impossible to deny strain in the Torah, that there's a strain that's weaving its way straight through the tapestry of so many different scriptural verses of so many different parts of the Torah, which are all saying ultimately the same thing. What was will be again, this idea of Tchias HaMeis. The Gemara now further says, V'omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi said, Kol ha'omer shiro ba'ilam hazeh. Anybody who actually sang Hashem's praises in this world, Zeiche ve'omer lo'ilam haba, he will sing it in the future again. Shenemer, as it says, Ashrei yeshev yisecha, oid yahaluch haselah. Fortunate are those who sang your praises, they will yet sing your praises again. So the Marsha explains this by saying that the idea of Oyd Yahalucha is so to speak to say that as long as a Yid once sang Hashem's praises, that he will sing Hashem's praises. Here it's not necessarily referring to Tchias HaMeisim. Here it's a different teaching. Here Taka could be referring to the heavenly reality. Here it could be referring, what does a Yid do in Gan Eden? Whatever he did on earth. If you're saying he davened here, you'll daven there. He didn't daven here, it's big charis. How are you going to daven there? You have to have done something here. The Gan Eden that a neshama lives in is the composite of what the neshama engaged in when it was here. What it does here, that's what it does. It gets to do there. So that's how the Marsha explains it. And there's a discussion in Mefarshim whether this might also allude to Tchias HaMeisim as well. The Gemara now says, "Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba." Rabbi Chiya bar Abba taught. "Amar Rabbi Yechanan." Rabbi Yechanan taught. From whence do I know the concept of Tchias HaMeisim from the Torah? And he says, because we have a pasuk. This verse is found in the prophecies of Yeshayahu HaNavi, chapter 52, verse 8. The verse reads as follows: Koil tzoyfayich nosu koil. The voice of tzoyfayich have raised their voices, yachtav together. Yiranenu, they will sing. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan taught, Kol Tzoyfayich, this is the voice of your Tzoyfayich. We'll speak of what that means in a moment. Nosu kol yacha, yachdu yiranenu v'geimer. It should have said, yachdav rinenu. They sang in unison in concert. Why does it say they will sing in concert? Rinenu loinemer, it doesn't say rinenu. Instead it says, yiranenu. Since it doesn't say rinenu, they will sing. Since it says yiranenu, it doesn't say they sang. It says yiranenu, they will. From here we can see Tchias HaMeisim is min ha-teira. So let me just take a moment to share with you what is tzoyfayich. So the word tzoyfe comes from the terminology of seeing, to look, into the distance, look into the future. To you can look into many things. So you can just ask somebody, I'll look into that. Is it a good investment? Is it a good idea? I'll look into it. Is it a good strategy? I'll look into it. You're not looking in the same way. A person could look, some people could see the future. They're called prophets. Some people can't see the future. But they have a vantage point that allows them to see what others can't. Why? They're a strategist. They've been analyzing the market for 50 years. They have a certain bird's eye view. They see things differently than other people. And yet, other people, they're not of any special experience. But they're in a special place. Like a lookout. They're in a lookout. So if they're in a lookout, they see what other people don't see. So actually, this inyan of tzoyfe, if you look in the Mefarshim, so the Mefarshim seem to say that the concept, Rashi says, tzoyfim shema amidin malachaymos. These are the people with the telescopes, the people on the high walls. They're looking at the, seeing where the enemy's coming from. That's what it means. The ones in the migdalim, the ones in the towers. Lirais ulavase, to see, and then to convey, mi bala'ir, who's coming. Friend or foe. And if you look in the Mitzudas David, he says the same thing. This is the lookout, the sentries who are up on the high lookout towers. Okay. But the Radak takes a different approach. He says, he follows the Gemara in here, Mesechus and Hedron, he says it means Nevi'ayich, your prophets. They're not looking at the next field or at the next valley. They're looking into the future. Ki ha-novi, says Radak, yikore tzeifa. The novi is called a seer. You can see. Ki mai tzeifa na satich lebeis Yisrael is a question, is a direct quote from the prophecies of Ezekiel. Why is he called a viewer, a seer? Because shu tzeifa, he sees asidus. And then he goes and he tells you what he saw. So our Gemara seems to follow the notion of prophets. That's the way our Gemara is not talking about the centuries, but the Gemara is talking about the prophets. And what the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is that these tzoifim, these ones who are able to view the future, there will come a time when they will raise their voices. Kol tzofayech nosu kol, they'll raise their voices, yachtov. And what will they do? Yiranenu. They will sing. They'll sing Hashem's praises. He says, Mekan l'tchias ha-meisim in ha-teira. From here we can see tchias ha-meisim in ha-teira. Why? How can we see that from the Yiranenu? So the pshat is like this. The pshat is that the Nevi'im, on a very literal level, lived in different times. Every Navi had its time. Every Navi has its Nevuas. But there will come a time, Mashiach will come. Imagine the image. All the great tzaddikim, all the ages, and they're all singing together. Imagine what a concert that's going to be. Imagine a choir. See, all the Nevi'im together. Usually you say, Ein Navi Be'ira, you know. He's in his own city, nobody even appreciates him. When he goes as a guest speaker somewhere, oh, the Navi's here, it's a big deal. But one Navi in a generation. But there's, every generation gets what it gets. Yiftach b'deirei k'shmul b'deirei. Yiftach in his generation is a lowly fellow, was nothing special. In his generation, he was just as good as Shmuel in his generation. Shmuel, about whom it says, was like Moshe and Aaron together. Shmuel was like a Moshe of Aaron b'cheir, not a Shmuel b'cheir ishmei. Moshe v'Aaron, and Shmuel in some ways equal to Moshe v'Aaron. And this guy, this Yiftach, is equal to Shmuel of his generation. And then the Gemara says something shocking. The Gemara says, "V'Shmuel b'deirei shel Yiftach." Had Shmuel, the great prophet, who in some ways is likened to Moshe and Aaron, had he been in the generation of Yiftach, lahoya nechshav leklum, he wouldn't even get a minion. Nobody would listen to him. Nobody will listen to Shmuel Anavi. Shmuel Anavi, Moshe v'Aaron b'chayanav, Shmuel v'kedesh mei. And Yiftach will be giving a sermon to listen to Yiftach. Will listen to Shmuel. How could such a thing be? The answer is, every generation gets the leader it deserves. Yiftach knew how to talk the language. These were coarse, crass people. Yiftach knew how to give them a zetz in the head. He knew how to speak to these people. He knew how to use the lingo and the slang. And they responded to him. And Shmuel was speaking this holy verbiage. Then what he's talking about? Nobody related to him. So you have different generations and different voices and different tzaddikim and different prophets. And Hashem put each one, the one that it needed, the generation that needed a Yiftach, they got a Yiftach. The generation that a Shmuel got a Shmuel. So how could they all sing together in the same voice? The whole virtue is that they are different. The whole point is that every generation is different. That because different generations have different prophets and different leaders, they're all going to sing in different voices, so to speak. They're all singing Hashem's praises. It's all a song. The Torah is a song. Life is a song. It's all a song. But it's different songs. But this is what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara is telling us there will come a time when there will be this mass equality. Mashiach will come, B'tchias HaMesim, we'll all be on the same level. The generation, the generational gaps, generational differences will fade away. And the Tzoifim, the greatest expression, the Navi who represents the whole generation in a concentrated form, all these Nevi'im will come and they'll sing together. The Ben Yehuda says that we know some Nevi'im spoke a message that was positive and some Nevi'im spoke a message that was negative. Not that Yirmiyahu wanted to give negative prophecies. He didn't want to give it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not your choice. I knew you before you knew yourself. And you have to go give these prophecies. And Yirmiyahu says, why do I have to give? How did this end up being my problem? And Yeshayahu has rosy, glowing prophecies. And Yirmiyahu is called the Navi of Churban. And Yeshayahu is called the Navi of Gula. Not because Yeshayahu is chas v'shalom better than Yirmiyahu. Who are we to compare prophets? They had different messages. The Eibishter wanted to give a harsh message to the Jewish people. He wanted to give a bright message to Jewish people. Different times needed different messages. How would they sing in the same voice? It's like saying a sad, melancholy song and a triumphant, jubilant song, and it's the same song. How could that be? So the Pasuk actually doesn't seem to make any sense. And maybe that's why Rashi and Mitzudas Siyan, who emphasize very strongly Pshat, they go away from this. They don't talk about Nevi'im, because on a literal level, doesn't... Kol tzofayech nosu kol yachtov. Why? It says, the end of the Pasuk, by the way, is ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. This is talking about Mashiach comes. So, on a literal level, they'll all see the same thing. All the political analysts who predict the different things, all the people who are up there in their little watchtowers and vantage points who see different things unfolding. When Mashiach will come, everybody will see the same picture. Everybody will start seeing the same thing. The pessimists, the optimists, everybody will see the same picture unfolding. Only when Mashiach will come. But the deeper message is that Kol Tzofayech, all of those who saw the future from the past, and they saw it very different ways. Yirmiyahu's future, the one he was shown by Hashem, what he saw, what he had to speak about, very different than what Yeshayahu had to speak about. And yet, when Mashiach will come, nasu kel yachtav, they'll raise their voices in unison. They'll be in perfect harmony. They'll be singing the same song. Yirananu. Why? How could that be? Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru. Because they'll see God in a very real way, because we'll all see Hashem, so to speak, eye to eye. B'shuv Hashem tzion. So the Ben Yehuda says, so the prophets will all be speaking in the same voice. The Navi of Paronius and the Navi of Geula, the Navi who spoke about negativity and the Navi who spoke about positivity, all speaking the same. This could only be when Mashiach will come. And anyway, if we speak about Nevi'im, speaking in different voices, the different voices were because they lived in different times, for the most part. If they lived in different times, they couldn't have been speaking at the same time. They couldn't have been speaking together. And yet, the Torah says that the Emer Tzashem will be Yachtav Yirananu. Together they will, not Rinanu, but Yirananu, they will sing. And from this we can see the concept of Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. With this we conclude, for now, the discussion on the resurrection, and the Gemara goes now in a new direction, speaking about other interesting things, and we'll come back to this concept, the Gemara will later, we'll come back to this concept, as they say in the Golden Oldies, to be continued.
Why doesn't it say about the Pasuk of Yaakov said to Esav, meet me a Mount Seir?
Patience.
Is going to talk about it?
Talks about a lot of things. I think later on in the Gemara, yeah. I learned this Gemara in a while, you know, like I'm all from memory right now.